First thing I want to do is tell you about the series we're about to jump into, okay? And I'm going to do that kind of in a different way. That was the name of the band tonight. We didn't get to that. It's all good. Okay, Gospel for Real. I'm going to tell you, well, I'm going to kind of explain to you why I'm talking about gospel, and then hopefully that'll make sense, the title that'll make sense. I'm going to start off by doing it this way. New York City. Okay, I've been, I think, three different times with my wife now, and I've flown in. I've been in the city, right, and I've flown out. The way that we flew one time, I'll never forget it, we were kind of banking on the left, and we could just see Manhattan perfectly. Okay, I want to set this up and talk about New York City because I want to talk about the gospel. And I'm going to use it in the same kind of, I'm going to compare and contrast, okay, these two different viewpoints. When we flew into New York City, it was awesome. Okay, you're looking down, and you can call it a 10,000, a 20, whatever, a very, very high view. As you're looking down on the city, it's real, okay, it's right there. It makes sense. You're about to fly into it. You're about to drop down, right? It's also very beautiful. It's beautiful. You're looking down on it, and even if you're like a country person or if you hate large crowds, whatever, like you're looking down on New York City, and you're like, yes, that's awesome. Okay, there's some part of you, even if you don't like crowds, you say, yes, that's awesome. I love it. It's beautiful. There's a part of it, and you can kind of even see on this one, where you look down, and there's this middle spot, okay, and it's like a blot of green, perfect rectangle. Y'all know what that is, right? Central Park. And then you look at the streets, and you can tell on this one, they're like a perfect grid. So there's part of New York City, when you're up here looking down, is very simple. You even look down on it, and you're like, okay, if I was in the city right now, I think I could understand how to get around. Okay, you're looking down on it. It's like, I get that. Okay, it's beautiful. There's simplicity there. And there's also some understanding there, like, okay, I got it. And then you land. Okay, and it's like just, it's ironic. It's just paradoxical. It's just, it was this, and now it's this. It was this, now it's this. We land, and you've heard me talk about this trip before. It made an impression on me. Subway system shuts down. Okay, it's like the first time in 20-something years. And so everybody in the city has to take a cab, or they have to walk, or they have to bike, or restaurants, places of business were just shutting down because people couldn't get to work. They couldn't run it. And everybody's on the streets, and it's crowded, and your commute that used to be like 45 minutes is now like 2 hours and 45 minutes. And so Lindsay and I were trying to get around the city, and we had to walk some like 80-something city blocks to get to where we made reservations a week before at this really nice restaurant. It's the only nice place we ate at, right? We go through Greenwich Village. Let's skip one. We'll get to it. So we go through this section of New York City, and it no longer is simple. I'm looking up at the road signs. It makes sense. Okay, I didn't have my iPhone back then. This is back before we even had phones. And I couldn't figure out where we were at. Subway system's down. So I'm kind of figuring out from like a paper map where I'm supposed to go. It's still beautiful, but like I'm down on the street now. And so I'm passing homeless people. There's trash. It's not as beautiful as it was up here. Now, it also depends on your outlook, but for the sake of what I'm talking about right now, you can see all the dirty that you couldn't see when you were up here. No longer simple. It's very complex. Big buildings you can't see past, blah, blah, blah. It's no longer beautiful in the sense of looking down like, oh, that's awesome. Okay, not easy to understand. So it was just back and forth of it was this, and now it's this. It was this, and now it's this. It was this, now it's this. Now, in its complexity, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I love that. I thrived on it. It was a challenge to me. I enjoyed it. We walked through so many different neighborhoods we never would have gone through if the subways wouldn't have shut down. We found places we never would have found if the subways wouldn't have shut down. So there's a part of this story. It's like, don't think one is good and one is bad. Even in the messiness, you see evidence of God. Okay, in the middle of a city. Now, I want to talk about the gospel being the same thing, and I don't want to overdo it, but everything I just said when I talk about gospel. Okay, if you look back, Gospel for Real, here's where I'm coming from. The very first thing I have when I want to talk about gospel is this. Some of you are in classes, particularly science classes, where there are these thoughts, there are these ideas, and they're abstract, they're theories, they're out here. Okay, there's a couple of guys in here I heard talk about quantum physics one time. No lie. Okay, you're in here, you know it. They're talking about quantum physics, and the thing with quantum physics, and I'm a kind of a science background, right? But not like, not chemical sciences, not chemistry, not physics. And here's why, because there are these things, and some of you love this, and that's great. There are these things that are just theories, and they're abstract, but you never put your hands around them. You can't really see it. There's some really smart people that sit down, and they end up like, they figure this stuff out, okay? When you get into like subparticles, okay, we're not talking about periodic table. That's big. We're talking small, 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 small. And it's just this idea. It's just this theory. I don't want the gospel to be that for you. I don't want it to be just an idea. I don't want it just to be an abstract thing that you can't put your hands around. But at the same time, I want to help you in the fact that there is complexity there. It's simple, and I'm going to put up a definition in a minute that's 16 words. 16 words, and it's simple, but it's complex. There's beauty with the gospel. I just saw a testimony earlier today on YouTube with this guy down in South America. And he's talking about being in a dark hole. He's talking about how the church that he's involved in now, they showed him what Jesus was. They showed him what the gospel was. So what this guy ends up saying is, gospel takes me out of the dark holes. It took me out of the dark hole. And there's something very beautiful with that. And in the definition, you're going to see a word restoration, being restored. There's something very beautiful about that. But make no mistake about it, and some of you know this very well, the process of being restored, of being a human being on this earth, not just high school student, but being an adult, being a person in this world, it's messy. Right? It's messy. You ever been mad at your parents? Have they ever been mad at you? You ever stabbed somebody in the back? Have you ever been stabbed in the back? It gets messy. And so it can be very beautiful. And in that just beauty, there's also some messiness. And that's okay. This is a broken world. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. We're part of that. No doubt about it. Also in it, it can be easy to understand. Some of you in this room you've not made the choice to follow Christ. There are other people in this room that when you were 5, 6 years old, you decided to follow Christ. You heard the gospel and you said, I get it. And a 6-year-old mind, you got it. And there's probably some times as your teenage years have gone on that you're like, man, I'm glad. I hope you say this. I'm thankful that I came to know Christ at an early age, but there's still pieces that I'm learning. There's no way I could have comprehended when I was 6. I understood Savior. I understood that I needed Christ's love. But man, this life is a little bit more complicated. And so it was easy to understand at one time. And there are other times it's just, I can't get this. So gospel. Gospel gets heavy. Heavy quick. It's this paradox of you go beauty and a mess. You go easy to understand. Not so easy to understand. Simple. Okay, I get that. Simple. And that at the same time is complex. This is the definition I want you to see. You're going to see this, I think, 3 other times tonight. If you don't remember anything else, all right, there's when the speaker's going to say this. It's this. Remember this. Okay, if you need to put it in your phone, you can probably get the first line of it done right now. If you want to take a picture of it, this is what I want you to put down. If later on tonight you're dealing with some things and you don't know where to turn to in your Bible, I'm going to give you some verses to look at. But still, even then, if you're like, you know what? I don't know what to do with the Bible, or maybe you've read those verses. I want you to go back to this definition and then go back to the verses. Go back and forth and read this. Okay, read it right now. I'll give you time. Everybody look at the screen and just read it. What does that mean to you? The gospel is the story of God restoring relationships through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Restoration, relationship, you get into things like that, it gets messy. It gets messy. So what I want to do is I want to go to Romans 12 next week. Tonight, it's going to be really quick. I want to look at the first 11 chapters of Romans, and I'm going to do it in probably 4 verses. It's going to be laid out very simple, and this is why. If you've never made the decision to follow Christ, if you're so far away from him right now, you don't know which way to turn. Or if you're walking faithfully with him right now, I want you to be able to go to this verse. I want you to understand that the gospel's laid out in the first 11 chapters of Romans. And I want it to be challenging for the ones who are following Jesus, and just another time of, okay, here's an awareness of who I am and who he is. And I want it to be used by the Holy Spirit to move with inside of you. Okay, that's where I'm at right now. So Romans 1 through 11 is probably the best way to look at the gospel. Paul sets down, he writes these 11 chapters, and he's going to go over like 3:23 right in front of you right now, Romans 3:23. And it's very simple, but it's heavy. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, so this is one that almost everybody in here can agree on. This is one that almost everybody out there agrees on. Especially the first half of it. We have all sinned. If there's a person in here who is under the illusion that they're perfect and they have not sinned, come talk to me afterwards. Okay, we're not perfect. Nobody in here is. There's been one man to walk the face of the earth that was sinless, Jesus Christ. So when it says we have all sinned and we've fallen short, it means all. That's everybody. Short of the what? The glory of God. And this is where people get mixed up that don't believe in God or don't understand who God is. And it's tough. So his glory, basically it's saying we don't measure up, we've fallen short. Now, when a parent gets down on you because you don't measure up, or maybe you feel that way, when a friend's upset with you because you don't measure up, or maybe you feel that way, this is different. Okay, you need to honor, I mean, hear me, honor your family. Mother and father, honor. Show kindness to your friends. The Bible says love your enemies. Show kindness to your friends. But understand this, the person that you think, person, I'm talking about parents, friends, people on this earth, if you think you don't measure up to them, you'll always know this about them. They're not perfect either. You can always say that, and it's true. They're not perfect either. And that may be some of the reason why they're coming down on you. Right? Because they've been through that road before. And that's a whole nother message. But when God says this, when God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, this is not the same as not measuring up to expectations of somebody. This is God. His glory, his perfection, righteousness, holiness. These big words that mean he's perfect. He's perfect. And we've all sinned. And we've fallen short of that. No doubt about it. Romans 6:23, and this is where it gets really yucky for some people. This is what people don't like. They have decided that they don't want to believe in God. A lot of times, this is the one that they're just like, nah, I don't buy it. For the wages of sin is death. You kind of have to have some background with this. But we'll go on. We'll come back to it. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin, right? Death. Why? Because in the garden, there were these two people, Adam and Eve, and they didn't make it, right? They're not still here. They sinned. Okay, first verse, they sinned. They fell short of the glory of God. So we go down to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve died. They sinned. They didn't measure up. And then God, being the compassionate God he is, and this is why people have a problem with it, because they want to look through their own eyes and their own situations. And okay, so you're upset. So things didn't go exactly the way you wanted. There's a big picture here. And you can choose to be narrow-minded about it, or you can choose, I understand there's a big picture going on here. The wages of sin is death. Everybody in this room is the same story. We all deserve it. We all deserve death. And that's really heavy. For somebody in here, if this is your first time at church and you're hearing this, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Okay, we can have fun. We can have the rap battles. We can do all that kind of good stuff. But when we speak truth, it will not be sugarcoated. It's going to be truth. All of us deserve to die. But the cool thing about it is God has provided a way that we can have eternal life. And it's a gift. And all you do is receive it. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us, in that while we're still sinners, he dies on the cross. Okay, so this whole idea of, but you don't know how bad I am, it's already been done for you. All you have to do is receive a gift. So chapters 1 through 11, that was like super fast. Okay, and you can take a whole series in chapter 1 alone and spend like an entire year on it and have like 45-minute sermons, okay? But 1 through 11, I want you to get the gist of Paul's talking about gospel. This weird word that some of you might be hearing for the first time, he's talking about gospel. So here's the definition one more time. The gospel is the story of God restoring relationship through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's big time. This is gospel. Those verses that we just looked at when it's talking about the wages of sin and what we deserve, but there's this free gift. This is the definition. Okay, so my boss, David Grant, and Trey, middle school pastor, they came together and they did a retreat on the gospel. And this is after about five different meetings. This is about just going through Romans. This is looking at other people in history and their definition of gospel, and this is what they came to. It's simple, but it's complex. It's beautiful, but it's messy, no doubt about it. I kind of want to wrap it up this way. Or we're at the last like quarter of it. So the first 11 chapters, Paul's writing away. And there's some stuff in there, right, that's probably not the most fun thing to write. Hey, human, person, you sinned, and you deserve death. As you learn about Paul, he doesn't care who he's offending and who he's making happy. Paul's writing truth. Okay? Paul is about God's business. That's what he does. But he does this for 11 chapters and 33 verses. And then we'll go back to that one. He gets to verse 33, and he's just like, he's boiling over, okay? And so that's why we had this picture right here. And I've got a quick story to tell. So kids are the best at this. When you catch them off guard or they open up a gift, which is the story I got, and they're just like all sorts of happy. And I've got three, well, let's do two. I'll do two different words for this, okay? Mav, my little two-year, I have a two-year-old son. And he's not like the crazy one that bounces off the walls. My oldest one did that. He's chill, but there are these moments where he's still a boy. And he's still going to pull out just like, where'd that come from? Who are you? Whose kid are you? Because I'd never do something like that. So what he did, Christmas Day, and it was really cool, he opened up a Mickey Mouse guitar. Okay, I did not pick it out. It's this big, and I don't know if there are other ones. Of course there are other ones. Of course there are. I'll talk to Lindsay later. But this one had Mickey Mouse on it. He loves Mickey Mouse. Okay, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Mishka Mushka, Mickey Mouse. Like, I know it. Hey, Toodles, like, I got the whole thing down. If you haven't seen it yet, like, it's a decent show. We watched two episodes this morning because he's kind of sick right now. He opens up his guitar, and he, like, picks it up, and he is so excited, so excited. And there are people in this room that it's your fault why he's so excited, okay? If he hits, he'll go through the house, and if he has something that's like a drumstick, which is anything that's like anything, he hits, okay? That's Coleman's fault. Coleman set him down in front of a trap set probably when he was a year and 4 or 5 months old. Okay, he loves musical instruments. And because of Dax, because of Colton, and now we'll go down the road and he'll see like a guitar on a billboard or he'll see it on somebody's shirt. And he doesn't say guitar, he says guitar, guitar. He says it kind of fast and you have to, like, what? He's pointing out guitars because like y'all have exposed him to the guitar and he loves it. So he's excited that he's got this Mickey Mouse guitar and he's already like strumming on it. And I said, hey, Mav, do you like it? And I didn't get this on video. And he says, I love it. I've never heard him, and it is an awe moment, I've never heard him use that phrase ever. Okay, he'll say, I love you. He'll do things like that. But he holds it out like this, and he says, I love it. He's overjoyed. Okay, this kid, obviously overjoyed. Now, not so cute story, but somebody who would get fired up. And like if this guy's alive and he hears this and he comes after me, that's okay. I mean, I'll fight as best I can. He's 6'9" at the time. I don't know. He's probably still the same height, of course. He's probably a lot bigger now because I'm thinking he got fat, so I could probably run. I could beat him in a race. His name's Johnny Golden, and I played football with him at Hardin-Simmons. And he's one of these guys. We had about two or three each year. Okay, little Division III football school. This guy was 6'9", 200 whatever pounds, and it's like, why are you here? And it was a story of, well, I had a full ride at a D1 school, but I blew out my knee, and so I'm just going to play here. We didn't have scholarships. We're not on TV. You don't go play football at a Division III school unless you love football and you love being on a team. You just don't do that. And once you get out there and you're doing it and there's no cameras and there's no, like, national championship, you find out how much you really like it or you were playing football for different reasons, which is fine. Okay, Johnny loved football a little too much. He had this word, and this is the point I'm getting to. On Friday nights, we'd have a team meeting that was just coaches. And there were people that would scream and all try to get hyped up, and then you, got to go to bed because you don't play till Saturday. So, I hated these meetings. I hated them. And Johnny would always get up, and he'd put on a show. And one day he gets up, and he throws this trash can across the room, and it's the metal kind. And it hits a locker. And we're all in the front, and he hits this locker in the back. Trash goes everywhere. It's like a field house trash can. It's like stupid. You don't throw a trash can where a bunch of guys get dressed and play. It's just nasty, okay? And he says this word. He goes, "You better get crunked." Okay, crunked. And maybe that word existed before, but not to me. So I associate it with Johnny. Johnny wasn't so good with English. So everything he said, and he wasn't my favorite person. I mean, we got along, but he just saw the world in a different light. He saw the world football and football only. Why are you eating that? Is it going to help you with football? Why are you talking to that girl? Is she going to help you with football? So his deal was, you get crunked. And for the next 3 years of my life, because he played, right, he comes in his sophomore year. For the next 3 years of my life, I had to listen to that. But he would get overjoyed, and he'd get all crazy-like. That's what Paul's doing in these verses right here. He got overjoyed. He got all crazy-like. He got crunked. Okay, he opened up a Mickey Mouse guitar. Paul's writing about the gospel for 11 chapters. He's writing about the truth. He's writing about sin and death. And he's also writing about the free gift. And then he spills over. Read it with me. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" It's an interesting question. Has anybody ever counseled God? And the answer is no. You and I, we need help. We need counsel. God doesn't have anybody to give him help, give him counsel. He doesn't need it. Righteous, perfect. So when he asks this question, it's like, man, what are you talking about? God needs help? No. We serve a God that is almighty. Then he goes on, "Or who has given a gift to him that might be repaid?" This is a funny one because students will do this, adults will do this. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to be nice to my little sister. I'm going to be nice to my mom. I'm going to do this so I can repay God, or so I can make him happy. You don't repay God. You can't. That's ridiculous. You can't pay him something he already has. He already has your family. He already has everything that you think is shiny and cool. It's his. You don't repay God. And he goes on, last verse, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." To him be glory forever. Amen. So he gets really happy here. And we can talk about gospel, and we can talk about all the intricate details of it. And some of it seems heavy, and some of it's like, oh, you're talking about death. I don't want to hear about that. Don't run away from the truth. Don't run away from the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. But you got to get to the good part, just like Paul did at the end of chapter 11. You got to get to the good part. Overjoy because you figure out. Overjoy because you just get a little taste of who God is, what you deserve, and what he's offering. It'll blow your mind. It'll absolutely get you crunked. How about that? One more time. If you haven't done it yet, put it in. The gospel is the story of God restoring relationship through the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is a story, and so I'm going to have you do four things. Band's going to come up here in just a little bit, and the four things you're going to do, first, I want you to think. Just look up there and think about it. I'm a guy. Okay, hopefully there's some things that I say you're like, okay, I'm going to listen to Matt. But in the end, I can't do that for you, so what do you think? Read it to yourself. What do you think about this? Next, even if you never prayed in your life, that's okay. Okay, just close your eyes. And I want you to hear it. This isn't like a weird thing, okay? Just close your eyes. So you're not distracted by anything. Close your eyes. Here goes. The gospel is the story of God restoring relationship through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel. Okay, you can open your eyes. Next thing we're going to do is you're going to pray. Okay, what does this mean to you? And this is for everybody. If you're following Jesus, you spent time in the Word this morning, you've been thinking about, God, how can you use me? I want to be your hands and feet. Or if you're like, man, I don't know if any of this, I don't know if any of this even makes sense or if I believe any of it, I challenge you to pray. Ask God, what does this mean? What's the gospel look like in my life? Okay, I'll give you a little time and then I'll close this out in prayer. God, thank you for your gospel. God, if we've made it some abstract thought, if we've made it some theory that we can't put our hands on, something that just doesn't make sense and we've given up on it, God, tonight, whether it be the songs that we sing, a conversation that we had with a friend, or maybe just the spoken word, God, stir within us and show us that the gospel isn't something that happened, but it's something that's still happening, and we can be a part of it. We've been invited into the story. God, we see how it can be beautiful and we see the messiness in it because we're humans and we live. We live in the beauty and we also live in the messiness and the brokenness around us. So God, whether it's we're 14 or if we're 60 years old, please help us to have a better understanding what the gospel is. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It's not something that you just talk about while you're at church, but it's something that we get to live. It's something that gets to go through us. God, thank you for your story. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for restoring our lives. God, for the people in this room who don't believe in you, God, use tonight to just trigger something. Let them think about it. Or even bigger than that, God, we know that you are God and you will do. You'll do what you want to do. Move within their heart. Let them meet you for the first time, God. God, for the ones that are walking with you right now, and we've said this a few times, for the ones that are still trying to figure out what does this look like on a daily basis, something that's practical. God, work through them and let them be the gospel at their school, at their home, just in their daily life, wherever that takes them. Let them see that the gospel is alive and it's living. And God, let them become overjoyed, just like Paul. Let them become overjoyed with gospel, the story that you've invited us into, the story about your son, the story that saves us, that gives us hope. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.